You are listening to JG Sports Talk.
And we welcome you to the latest edition of JG Sports Talk. I am your host, Amiri Telluck, here on this Saturday, August 8th, 2015. Thanks so much for tuning in to today's edition of the program. So, on today's edition, it's going to be a little interesting. Two things I want to get out the way very quickly before we begin. Number one, the topic of discussion. And the topic is the release of Aldon Smith. The San Francisco 49ers cut their ties, cut their association essentially with the outside linebacker Aldon Smith. Extremely talented, extremely gifted on the football field. But over the last, you know, 2, 3, 4 years even, has really struggled to grab a hold of his own personal life, and that was exacerbated and put ever so more into the forefront of the conversation when he was arrested most recently for A, suspected DUI, B, vandalism, and 3, a hit-and-run situation. So that was his 5th arrest, and this is insane to think of, but unfortunately the reality of the situation. Aldon Smith's 5th arrest since 2012, so again, it is obvious that Aldon Smith's priorities in life need to be reorganized, and the San Francisco 49ers did the right thing by releasing him. Obviously, you know, they would be in no position of gaining, essentially, by keeping him on the roster, on the field. They wouldn't be able to use his talent. You know, I would assume that if things continue on the way that the legal system has over the past few NFL seasons, he would be suspended. You know, they'd lose out, obviously, from the PR perspective, but more generally, I think that the San Francisco 49ers realize from the football standpoint that Aldon Smith needs help, and that's the second point. That's the second aspect I want to do before we dive into today's discussion, and that is Aldon Smith, you know, he needs help, and at this point in time, that should really be the biggest point of the conversation, and it has. I think a lot of people right now are discussing, and it's a good conversation to have. You know, when NFL players are given certain liberties, the fact that they are able to continue to take advantage of those liberties, despite the fact that it's impedimentary to themselves as an individual and to society. And in Aldon Smith's case, he has over the last few years indicated situations and shown situations that his recklessness is out of control. And this latest arrest, this latest release from the 49ers only proves, again, constantly, that there are players in the NFL that don't know when to stop, that don't know how to stop, that don't know how to take control of themselves. And somebody like Aldon Smith in this specific situation, I think it's finally good that the 49ers realize, you know, it's great on the field and when he's healthy and when he's able to play and when he's not, you know, enraptured in legal situations. He's a fantastic asset on the field, a fantastic player, and a fantastic athlete. But there are bigger priorities than just football. And when Aldon Smith retires, he will have to live without the gains, the monetary gains, the financial gains, the publicity gains of football. He'll have to live as an individual on his own. And it is clear from the limited time that we've seen the last 3, 4 years that he has repeatedly been unable to handle himself off the field and handle himself in situations where you can reasonably expect and grown adult with decision-making tools to you know, thrive in. So Aldon Smith needs help, and that should be the most important focal point of the conversation. That should be the most important talking point when this, you know, discussion is being held. That being said, transitioning into today's conversation, I wanted to further elaborate on two separate points that I immediately thought of when I looked at the situation. Again, let me just rephrase that what I'm about to discuss should by no means be the main topic of conversation. And I, you know, it's painful to have to sit here and admit that, because you would like to believe that NFL players have the resources to, you know, put themselves in positions where they can use their brains and they can use their common sense. And unfortunately, we see this seemingly every single year, several situations where players put themselves in bad positions repeatedly and they don't learn from them. So I want to get to that topic a little later. That's the topic of second chances and how players like Aldon Smith have repeatedly been given the opportunity to learn, to rectify, to age, to mature, and yet it doesn't seem like after his fifth arrest, he has changed his ways. Just to the naked eye, it doesn't seem like those ways have changed. So I wanted to get into second chances, and we'll definitely do that as the program continues. To begin, though, I want to take it on a different aspect, and I want to look at it from the San Francisco 49ers perspective. Again, the last perspective we want to have in a discussion like this, but a perspective that, as the football fan inside of me indulges, is one that I'm definitely want to have. And that is what the 49ers will be doing this upcoming season. After going 8-8 last year, after this offseason, losing their head coach and, you know, consequently promoting a rookie head coach who has never before been a coordinator and has only, you know, held a position coach responsibility within the NFL, you promote that guy to replace Jim Harbaugh, who to many people was doing just a perfectly fine job on the field with the 49ers. That's the coaching staff. Then you go down to the players, and you have five guys retire in the offseason. Patrick Willis, the veteran, the Pro Bowler. Chris Borland, a rookie, retired. Justin Smith, a solid Pro Bowler, retired. Anthony Davis, a right tackle, retired. A special teamer, Ray Ventrone, retired. And then you lose six guys in free agency. You lose, you know, running back Frank Gore, who in and of itself is a legend. With the 49ers as, I believe, the all-time rushing leader for that organization. You lose linebacker Dan Scuda. You lose left guard Mike Iupita. You lose cornerback Chris Culliver. You lose cornerback Parrish Cox. And you lose wide receiver Michael Crabtree. So you're losing, and this is the crux of the 49ers offensively and defensively, you're losing a huge chunk of your team. And for any other NFL team that may be in a rebuilding situation, this would be all right. This would be what goes on when rebuilding takes place. But it's the abruptness of this rebuilding phase that has really shocked everybody, that has shocked me. Because, what, 2-3 years ago, these same San Francisco 49ers were in the Super Bowl, right? 2012, they were right up there in the Super Bowl. The year before, they were in the conference championship. And, of course, in 2013, they were in the conference championship as well. So it is ridiculous to think that in the span of two seasons, the team has gone from Super Bowl to where many, many would be hard fought inside of them to say that this is a team that can make the postseason next year. That just shows the turnaround. Super Bowl to postseason, questionable. That's insane. So the 49ers at this point in time have a lot of work to do. I don't want to sit here and make it seem like their roster isn't fit for success. They have players that, as we've seen in the past, have been able to come up big. You know, they still have a fantastic quarterback or somebody that has shown the glimpse of being fantastic in Colin Kaepernick. But I don't think we can sit here and say right now with any breath of confidence that the San Francisco 49ers will be in the postseason, the legitimate postseason conversation for the next 2 to 3 years at least. Right, the roster, the team, the organization, the franchise is in just such turmoil that it makes it hard to believe that they would go from a Super Bowl to where they are now and then back up again in a quick turnaround. For me, this rebuilding phase that the team is embroiled in right now is going to be a deep one, and it's going to be one that may be very, very difficult to climb themselves out of. So, I'm interested in seeing what happens because this is a franchise that has for years prided itself on its legacy, prided itself on its ability to win consistently and be consistent in the conversation. And remember that rough patch they went through before they hired Harbaugh, and he really reinvigorated that franchise, reinvigorated the team, you know, reinvigorated the fan base. And it seems like everybody's on board and everybody's engaged. But it's hard to keep that interest level when you go through an offseason like they have this year. And when you go through a season like they did in 2014, where they went 8-8 and really nothing was going for them offensively or defensively. So I'm not too sure what the near future of this 49ers team is. I would like to believe that they will be able to rebound from some of the losses. I would like to believe that their head coach and their new coaching staff will be able to quickly impose their style and their strategies and see results. But nothing really from last year and nothing that has been done this offseason inspires me. And I can't imagine what the feeling is like in San Francisco when you have a key player like Aldon Smith again go down because of off-field stupidity. And you have so many, you know, names just drop like flies in the offseason for one reason or another. It's gotta be a nerve-wracking time up there, or over there, I should say, in San Francisco. Because this, again, is a team, and I'm sure there are several players on the roster that were there when they went to the Super Bowl in 2012 against the Baltimore Ravens, that now is on the brink of not being able to even contend for the postseason next year. So I'm looking forward to seeing what they have in store, because I would not be surprised if this San Francisco 49ers team comes out next year and looks like trash. Because this offseason has certainly felt that way. It certainly has looked that way on paper. And I don't know that this is a quick turnaround. I don't know that there's a quick solution to this. So I'm going to keep my eyes out for this San Francisco 49ers team, because, you know, the loss of Aldon Smith is just another name to that already overflowing list of key people that the San Francisco 49ers have lost already this offseason. But that just about does it for me on this topic of conversation. Coming up next, after the break, we'll switch the gears and take a look at second chances. Do they really exist in the NFL? All coming up next here on JG Sports Talk. I'm your host, Amiri Tolakir. Thank you so much for tuning into today's edition of the program. Just wanted to fit in this little interlude segment here to let the listeners know where they can contact the program throughout the week. Reach us on Twitter, at JG Sports Talk, and at Amiri Tullah, that is AmiriTullah. You can also follow us over at JGSportsTalk.com, and be sure to like us on Facebook as well. Now, back to the rest of the program. All right, and we welcome you back to the latest edition of JG Sports Talk. I'm Amiri Tullah here on this Saturday, August 8th, 2015. We're continuing the Aldon Smith conversation, or more broadly, the San Francisco 49ers conversation. We discussed last segment, essentially, you know, what the 49ers will do moving forward. And I wanted to switch the gears to the NFL as a whole and what they will do moving forward. After, again, you see somebody like Aldon Smith go down because of off-field transgressions. Second chances. Does it exist in the NFL? Does the NFL believe in it? Does the NFL allow it? Does the NFL approve it? You know, those are some of the aspects that I want to discuss. Because when you take a look at the National Football League, there is no doubt that their bottom line and what they are made of is to win. And I think that blueprint is relatively foolproof as long as you don't have, you know, repeated PR hits like they have in the past. Because in the perfect world, the NFL will go along, keep chugging that train, right? No scandals, you know, no wife beaters, no drug users on the low. It'll just be a smooth road. Fans will enjoy the sport. The NFL will rack in their billions, and everything will go as planned. But it's the few souls that I think make it difficult for the National Football League to continue that plan in such a foolproof mentality. And Aldon Smith, again, the fifth arrest since 2012. Ridiculous to think. And again, you just hope the man gets help. But it makes you wonder, how many chances has he gotten after every single one of those arrests? Right? Last year he was suspended 9 games for what was an NFL-mandated suspension after they said he violated their substance abuse policy and personal conduct policy. Okay, committed a crime or committed, you know, some act that was against the NFL's rule, served his punishment, all is well. He's back. But what doesn't make sense to me is, while Aldon Smith are given, and he's given those opportunities to return, he's given those opportunities to rectify himself, and he doesn't. But players like Ray Rice, who obviously early last season was found by every single eyeball watching that ridiculously absurd video of him knocking out his wife in the elevator. Everybody and their grandmothers were on top of Ray Rice and condemning him to basically a goner from the sport, right? I don't think any NFL team, when you felt that onslaught of fan hate and fan disapproval of Ray Rice, I don't think any NFL team in their right mind would ever sign him after the immediate response that was received for Ray Rice's transgressions. That is 100% accurate, and I completely agree with those teams, those fans, and the people that said, you know what, Ray Rice committed an offensive act, something that should not be repeated, something that should not be condemned, or condoned, rather, and let's not appreciate it, right? Let's let his self decide what he does, and let's not reach out to him to sign him for football reasons. That, I think, was the approach of most NFL teams, especially the Baltimore Ravens, who really, I don't know if they were trying to disassociate themselves from Ray Rice, but you could tell that they were not completely on board with his return, or at least they were not, especially when the second video came out, they were not completely behind him and supporting him throughout the process, which, again, I cannot blame them for not doing that, because I don't think any team, again, in their right mind, would support Ray Rice after the things that were viewed and after the situation that transpired immediately after. However, we are almost a year back to that date, if my memory serves me correct, right? We are almost a year back to the onslaught, to the immediate knee-jerk reaction by so many people, and Ray Rice still has not signed. It's training camp. Preseason is beginning very soon, and Ray Rice has still not signed. Yet you have players like Greg Hardy, who was suspended last year for, and I don't want to compare crimes, but if you're talking about domestic abuse, was suspended last season for a situation that, as far as the description is concerned, was a lot more egregious, in my opinion, than Ray Rice's transgressions. And you have Adrian Peterson, who obviously we know what he did last year. Two players that not only are playing next year, but were signed, or in Adrian Peterson's case, had his contract restructured and benefits. In Hardy's situation, he signed a one-year contract with the Dallas Cowboys after the Carolina Panthers cut their association with Greg Hardy. One-year contract with Dallas, all right, perfectly fine. The deal is worth about $13 million, but it's basically completely incentivized. So if the Cowboys don't feel like he's worth it, or if he gets embroiled in yet another off-field situation, there really is no loss for the Cowboys. A smart business move for Dallas to potentially take advantage of his on-field talent while not holding themselves obligated to pay a man for what he may or may not do off the field. A smart move. The problem that I have is when you have a player like Greg Hardy receive a contract from a team like Dallas, when somebody like Ray Rice can't even get an offer. And that to me is absurd, because I think back to the problem of the situation, and that is Ray Rice is being vilified because we saw what happened. And if we had just heard a written transcript, and if we had just heard a written account that could be disputed, debated, you know, shot down by Ray Rice's camp, if we had heard a transcript or a situation that was not visual, a situation that did not have video to accompany it, I don't think we would be talking about the same situation at this point in time. I think the fact that there was two egregious videos published to TMZ, that really did it in for Ray Rice. But that shouldn't do it in for the rest of his career. And Ray Rice should get every opportunity to perform on the NFL scale after he proves that he has rectified himself. And I use the word rectify because I believe that's what an NFL player should have to do. The problem is not all NFL players, when they receive those contracts, actually rectify themselves. And we see the situation with Greg Hardy. I cannot point to an interview, to a conversation, to any sort of forum that Greg Hardy has apologized, that Greg Hardy has promised that he will learn, that Greg Hardy has committed himself to educating himself on domestic violence, that Greg Hardy has has admitted his wrongdoing and admits that he is trying to get better and, admits that he is trying to learn from the situation. If somebody can point me to those, please do so. I'd love to read them. I'd love to see that. But those things that I just outlined, those intangibles, those tasks have all been seen in my own eyes from Ray Rice. And Ray Rice has apologized. And Ray Rice has shown remorse. Now, the question is, do you believe it or not? That's, I think, up to the eyes of the beholder. I personally don't look at Ray Rice and hold what he did last year or whenever against him to the point where he can't play again. I'm not going to sit here and condone his behavior, but I'm also not going to sit here and ruin his livelihood because of a video that was published that, if it was not sent out to the public, I guarantee you at this point, no bearing on his future as an NFL player. If the video was not published and he was suspended the 2 games or 4 games and the NFL season rolled along like business usual, he would be on an NFL team today. He would be signed by the Baltimore Ravens. He would not have left that franchise. It was the video that did it in for him. And so I don't believe that should be the end to a player's career, a videotape. That should not be the end, especially when two players, Greg Hardy and Adrian Peterson, don't have video, or in Peterson's case, picture form, don't have video or at least visual evidence to corroborate what they have done. I don't understand, right? Because they're playing now. They will be playing in 2015, 2016, and Ray Rice won't. Ideally, he won't. He hasn't been signed yet. He's still a free agent. So I think there's a real big question mark, a real big discrepancy about second chances in the National Football League. Do they exist or do they not? Right? Because one vivid example that pops to my mind is Michael Vick and his second chance that he got with the Jets. And for the most part, he took advantage of it, right? Again, he showed remorse, right? He showed that he's willing to learn. He showed that he committed a wrongdoing, and he showed that he's willing to rectify the situation. Those are three things that I have seen from Ray Rice. Three things that I have not seen from Greg Hardy, and although I haven't done too much research into Adrian Peterson's, response or feedback to the situation, I have not seen that from Adrian Peterson as well. So I'm asking the question of, do these NFL players really have a level of playing field when it comes to second chances and second opportunities? Because if that is the case, Aldon Smith should not have been re-signed or should not have been given another contract after the first or second arrest, right? After the first or second suspension, after the first or second fine, he should have been cut and dropped loose. That would at least match up with Ray Rice's situation. Because one video released online now ruins the rest of his career. And I don't think that's fair. I really don't. And I know people will point out the severity of it. I know people will point out how graphic it is. And I completely agree. But go ahead and read the reports against Greg Hardy. Go ahead and read the reports against Adrian Peterson. And then come back to me and try to explain that they are justified in their playing, their ability to play next year. Now, I agree with that. I think Hardy should have the opportunity to get a second chance to learn from his mistakes and to rectify himself. I also believe that Adrian Peterson should have the opportunity to learn. That's perfectly fine. I think that's what society has aligned ourselves with as far as the goals of an American democratic nation, right? Second chances, opportunities, the land of the free, whatever, insert cliche here. But when you have a situation like Ray Rice and he is not granted those opportunities, he's not granted that second chance, that to me is when the discrepancy really is shown. And that to me is when the discrepancy really has no answers. Because I can't answer why Ray Rice is not signed, but why Greg Hardy is. And I can't answer why Ray Rice is not signed, but Adrian Peterson had his contract restructured to guarantee him $20 million earlier this offseason. Can you explain that in reasonable, logical terms? I cannot. And can you explain why Ray Rice is still unsigned, when Aldon Smith, arrested 5 times since 2012, was only just cut by the 49ers? I can't. I cannot explain that. So I'm not isolating anybody's situation, because I think every situation is circumstantial. But to sit here and say that one isolated incident and another isolated incident are two completely different things but the two players in Greg Hardy and Adrian Peterson can still play, while the isolated incident on the left in Ray Rice can't. That doesn't add up to me. So that's my whole confusion. I would love to get an answer from the NFL. I would love to get an answer from Roger Goodell as to why that discrepancy exists. Because to me, I can't find a logical reason to explain. But that just about does it for me here. Got me all worked up on today's edition of JG Sports Talk. Thank you so much for tuning in to today's program. Until next time, I'm Amiri Tolokir, signing off. Enjoy the rest of your day, everybody.